Somalia has now been in a civil war for 2 decades. These days, African Union troops are defending a feeble government hunkered down in the capital, Mogadishu. The African soldiers are mostly Ugandan and largely funded by the U.S. The goal is to push Islamist fighters out of the capital and to make life safe there for civilians. NPR's Frank Langfitt is the first American reporter to spend a night on the front lines of this urban battle with Ugandan troops. He provides this rare firsthand account of Mogadishu's grinding street war.
It's near sunset in Shikara, one of Mogadishu's countless bombed-out neighborhoods. Ugandan troops have just wrapped up a house-to-house battle with a ragtag Islamist force called Al-Shabaab. The group claims allegiance to Al-Qaeda. Al-Shabaab is trying to seize control of Mogadishu and turn Somalia into a strict Islamic state.
My name's Major Anthony Lukwago Mbusi, and I'm the commanding officer of 119 Infantry Battalion.
I met Major Anthony, as everyone calls him, on a visit to Mogadishu last fall. He's a top Ugandan commander here. Major Anthony wants to show me the progress he's made today and the difficult conditions his troops face. He walks down into the battlefield, a valley of sand and scrub. We duck into an abandoned house with pockmarked walls.
This place where we are, it was in the hands of the insurgents this morning. Now you can see from here to the other place, it's about 70 meters away.
In other words, after a day of fighting, Major Anthony's men have picked up some 200 feet. That is the battle for Mogadishu, slow and bloody. We enter another house where Al-Shabaab has been just hours earlier. There's no floor. Only mounds of sand and trenches. To move from one room to another, you have to leap over the trenches, like crossing a stream. An entire network of trenches snakes down the valley from building to building. How far do these tunnels go?
They are long. I don't know where they go, up to where.
So they got in here by tunneling into the house?
Yes, that's how they do. Because, of course, if they go through the open ground, they will lose their lives.
Ugandan troops said Al-Shabaab's main supply trench runs 5 miles. We continue down the valley until we come within maybe a football field of Al-Shabaab fighters. And now, they see us. An AK-47 round smacks into a wall above our heads. The impact sends plaster sprinkling down the side of the house. Pinned down, I crouch behind a wall. Major Anthony, standing out in the open, seems unfazed. He says his troops will take out the sniper.
Don't worry. The boys will deal with him. Don't mind.
Then it gets worse.
That's a mortar.
The tour is now definitely over.
We go. Safe. We go.
So what just happened there?
I'm inspecting the counterattack. That's part of it. There was also a mortar which landed.
How far was it?
The mortar just landed about 10 meters away from us.
That's about 30 feet from where we were standing. This is how hard it is to fight in Mogadishu. Try to survey a day's work, and the enemy pushes you back with sniper and mortar fire. That evening, Major Anthony retreats to his command center, an abandoned villa. AK-47 rounds have chewed up a ficus tree in the courtyard outside. Major Anthony thinks Al-Shabaab will try to retake some positions they lost today. And they do, beginning around midnight. Major Anthony stands in the dark on the villa's veranda in just his boxers. A radio to his ear, he listens to reports from the field. The attack is brief and, Major Anthony says, unsuccessful. But there is bad news.
Okay, go on. Yes. Hello? Hello? Yeah. Among one of the mortars they have fired, it landed in a civilian populated area. And it landed in one family. Someone has lost life and others have been injured.
Whose mortar?
From the insurgents. From Al-Shabaab.
Civilian casualties from mortar fire are common here. Somalis mostly blame the African Union. A recent Human Rights Watch report says Al-Shabaab stages hit-and-run attacks to provoke the African Union to retaliate and strike neighborhoods. Quote, peacekeepers typically respond to the attacks with a sustained barrage of heavy artillery used indiscriminately.
My troops have got very clear instructions. There are no fire zone, markets, hospital, schools, residential areas.
That's Ugandan Major General Nathan Mugisha. He oversees the 8,000 African Union troops here. He admits his soldiers occasionally mortar civilians by accident.
There are some incidents which happen, but those are isolated. The picture you are getting is largely exaggerated.
Back in Major Anthony's villa, dawn comes, and with it, the distinctive sounds of Mogadishu. We spend the day roaming the battlefield, weaving through abandoned houses, slipping through holes in walls. I saw these areas in September. It's clear Major Anthony has picked up territory, and he's getting help. Al-Sunnah wal-Jama is a moderate Islamist group here. Its 1,500-man militia fights side by side with Ugandan troops. Abdul Kadir Maulin Noor is the group's spiritual leader. He joins Major Anthony in a bunker. They peer through a gun sight and study al-Shabaab positions.
Tomorrow when you get time, I will show you a different one, which they have done that side.
Inside the houses, inside the underneath.
Al-Shabaab has threatened neighboring countries and claimed credit for bombing the Ugandan capital of Kampala last summer. Noor says al-Sunnah, which goes by the initials ASWJ, is totally different, a moderate national movement.
Never, ever compare ASWJ to al-Shabaab. Those are terrorists, and we are just conservative Muslims who want their government to function.
For Noor, this war isn't just about faith. It's also personal. He lost his house to al-Shabaab last fall.
This destroyed building, three floors, there we used to have our kitchen.
That's where you lived?
Yes.
As a child?
Yes. And I married here, and I must go back to it.
That will be hard. The house is now in al-Shabaab territory. If Noor tries to visit, they'll kill him. Like everything else in the battle for Mogadishu, the future of Noor's home is uncertain, and any resolution seems a long way off. Frank Langfitt, NPR News.